Welcome back to the Deadology Podcast from Pencil Hill Studio, New Paltz, New York. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. This is Season 3, Episode 6 of the podcast. Today is March 11, 2025, and we're going to take a look and a listen to the first show of 1977 from February 26th, the Swing Auditorium in San Bernardino, California. And what a historic show it was, as well as being great performance-wise, historic. And we're going to get into all that. And that means I'm going to be bringing Doug Schmell back onto the podcast. And this is a perfect show to get into conversation about all kinds of things. So let's jump right into that. Here's my call from 2 days ago with Doug Schmell. Hey, there he is. My good friend, contributor to the Deadology podcast, Doug Schmell. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm doing great, Howie. Always great to be here. Just want to shout out to a couple of people. Jeff Morgenthau, I know, is out there listening. How you doing, Jeff? A couple of guys I haven't spoke to in a while. Larry Gindorf, Andy Trister. I love you guys. Andrew Klein, I hope you guys are doing well. Hope to see you guys soon, man.
Yeah, we spent many shows with those guys in the taping section and whatnot. Man, it was the golden days.
One of the best times of my life, just thinking about it, going to the shows. You know, we had fun, man. It was all about having fun, you know. Friends, fun, you know, great music, great times, man.
Hey, sometimes when you caught a quick Throwing Stones, Not Fade Away after drums, it wasn't as much fun as other times.
but when you drive to Augusta, Maine, and you see this freaking unbelievable morning dew and an Uncle John's to end it,
that was one of the great memories.
It, man. You realize how blessed you are and how lucky you are, you know, that this band was part of our lives, you know.
And it's funny you mentioned that because today is March 9th, my first show, 44 years ago today.
Correct.
And what was that for you? Three or four?
Yeah. Let's see. It's probably my third because I saw them at the Spectrum, 830-80. Then I saw them. Was Hartford before? Oh, I saw them at Radio City.
Right.
Also at the end of 1023-80.
Yeah, Hartford was
probably
3-9.
Hartford, right, was after the Garden. So yeah, the Madison Square Garden was my. But I did see a Gar Band show in February of 81, right before with Peter Stull. Shout out to Peter Stull, unless he's still in prison. I wouldn't know.
Pretty funny, man. I'm friends with him on Facebook. I think we've exchanged a few greetings over the years. But hey, man, let's go back to the first show of a storied year in Grateful Dead history, 1977, the Swing Auditorium. And I'm going to ask you about the Betty boards in a second, but if I sat down with a psychiatrist and we played a word game and he said to me, Betty boards, I would say swing auditorium, man, because you came into the car. I think it was, we were doing the spring tour 88 and you were like, I got these Betty boards and it was New Haven and Cornell. And I remember none of these tapes had the songs on them, but we were just going nuts. We couldn't believe the quality, and the quality of this swing tape was just so ridiculous. And Swing Auditorium, Betty boards, man, just forever ensconced like that. Tell us about before we get into the show, tell us about the Betty boards, how you got them, and tell me if my timing's right. I think it was spring 88.
Yeah, so, you know, the Betty boards, I think, were auctioned off back in 86, and I was in law school at the time. I remember Michael Brand, I don't know if you remember him, he went to law school with me at Hofstra. He got some of the Betty boards. I remember him telling me about him, mentioning them, but I don't remember specifically what I got from him, but I do know how and where I got the Swing Auditorium. And there was a guy I had met through a friend. He must have lived in Long Island. And I took my car from Hofstra University and drove to his house and made a whole bunch of new tapes he had. And the tape that stood out the most was the San Bernardino show, 22677. I had never heard it before. He was playing it so we could listen to it while we were taping it from cassette to cassette. And I couldn't believe the quality, and just the performance level was fantastic. And this became like my new favorite show. I mean, I was turning anybody who would listen onto this. You know, you were one of the first people I probably did, but this must have been 87 or 88. I was definitely in law school at the time. I graduated law school in 88. So it fits the timeline. But I just couldn't believe how great sound quality the Betty boards and just the term Betty boards, you know,
Yeah.
Betty Cantor, and she married Rex Jackson, so of course she became Betty Cantor Jackson. But amazing, this was the one that stood out for me the most for the sound quality and the performance quality of those initial batch of tapes. I couldn't believe what I had just gotten, Howie. It was
Yeah,
unbelievable.
we never heard of the swing before that show at all. So I think that was
Exactly.
part of the attraction. It was a new show and a Betty board at the same time.
Right, there was no dead bass back then. I didn't know the show existed. I knew about Cornell. I must have had Cornell at the time, and I did. Cornell was one of the first tapes I had, you know, on cassette. But this show, my God, it really took me by storm and by surprise. And I couldn't believe how great it was, you know. It's funny, a couple of years later, there was no Betty board of 227.77 the next night, which is from the Robertson Gym, I believe, at Santa Barbara. They
Great
only
show.
have the fifth reel of it. For some reason, the first four reels were destroyed. But they do have the Morning Dew, Sugar Magnolia, Johnny Be Good, which makes up the last section of the official release on the Dick's Picks series, Dick's Picks number 29. Dave's Picks, I'm sorry. But both these shows are incredible. That next night, we have a great audience. It's probably Rob Bertrando, maybe who taped it. Great audience. These two shows are phenomenal to open up one of the greatest, you know, years in Grateful Dead history. It's amazing. They open up with such, you know, purpose and you know, it really is distinct of their sound from 76. You know, as great as they were towards the end of 76, they were so hot to begin 77, I believe it. They took whatever it was they were doing in 76 to another level.
Oh, for sure. They definitely came out on a mission, and right away Garcia makes the opening statement for the year. Let my inspiration flow. The first Terrapin Station to open up the show. How ballsy is that to open up with a song that long with that many lyrics? It's an
Correct.
epic lyrics from Robert Hunter. How ballsy is that to just first not warm up with a Minglewood, but
Right.
come right out with Terrapin?
Could have been
Crazy.
Mingle with then Terrapin. Right. They opened up with the Terrapin, which takes balls. You know, they were recording at the time for Terrapin Station, which came out, I believe, in June. I think they were supposed to release it in April, but it got delayed. But, you know, they also, as we'll talk about, they debuted Estimated Profit. So there's a lot of songs, and they play Dancing in the Streets, a lot of songs. So they like to test these songs, and you couldn't have picked a better time, you know, first show of the year. You know, an audience, swing auditorium must have been seven. I figure it holds about 7,200, 7,000
Yeah,
people.
ten
And
thousand. Yeah,
it
pretty
is a
close.
great, it's a ballsy statement for Jerry. You know, let's open up with Terrapin Station. Nobody knew the song, they had never played it before. They probably did outtakes of it and whatnot, but nobody in the audience had ever heard this song. And they, you know what? They hit a home run because it's a great version. Jerry's lyric, you know, his voice is great. The lyrics, there's no vocal flubs. Everything's great with this Terrapin.
Yeah,
Fantastic.
that's pretty amazing. It was clean. I keep listening to it to see if there's something, maybe a little upbeat, which is characteristic of most of the 77 Terrapins. But yeah, no, excellent performance. The band was there and everything, but Jerry didn't blow one lyric. He blew
Yeah.
lyrics in US Blues later on in the show, but it
Yeah,
was,
yeah.
you
It's
know, but.
true. Great outro jam in the Terrapin Station. And then, of course, you know, they pause there. It doesn't go into anything like they would later in the year and, of course, subsequent years. But it's a standalone song. And what a great opening song for a show, I think. You know, it's great. Settles people in, you know what I'm saying? Gets them time. And they were all, what's this song? It's a brand new song. I never heard this before, you know? So it
And
is ballsy. I like it. I
also,
like it.
but before we carry on with the show, I just wanted to mention I just found out about this. I'm sure you must know about it. The Swing Auditorium was destroyed in 1981. It was hit by a plane. Did you know that?
Oh no, I did not. Wow.
I looked it up on the internet. I was like, let me find out a little bit about the Swing Auditorium. It's crazy. 20 years before 9/11, September 11, 1981,
Oh my God.
a plane hit the Swing Auditorium, and they had to tear it down. So the
Oh my God. Obviously, it wasn't terrorism, it was just an accident.
Definitely an accident, but
But
it's so weird that it happened on September 11, 1981. It's crazy.
right, exactly. What's the chances of that? If it was terrorism, it was probably a bunch of Van Halen heads, you know, ripped it up. I'm sick and tired of these dead heads and their venues. The Swing Auditorium's got to go, you know. But
That's pretty funny, man.
getting back to this show, I'll
I couldn't
tell you.
believe I saw that. Like I was looking up the information. I was looking at news articles. I'm like, how did I not hear about this before? You didn't hear about it either. I thought you might have
I
heard about
never
it.
heard of it. Yeah, that's incredible. But boy, that's only 4 years from this point. But I'll tell you that the sound quality of the show is truly phenomenal. You could tell from the opening notes. But Getting back to what you said, it is ballsy to open up a show with Terrapin Station. It's the only time they ever did that. They never again went back to this formula, opening up a show with Terrapin Station. So, it was a true, tried and true, on Jerry's part, get this first song out of the way and see how the audience, responds. And obviously it worked, it became one of the best, if not the best song on their ensuing album, and became a future staple of second set jam sequences, Terrapin Station was always in the middle of the start of some great jam sequences that we know of,
It's like the almost it's so great. It's like a national anthem in a way of the Grateful Dead world, man. Just a beautiful
Oh, the lyrics
long
are
song.
incredible.
Yeah, it's no doubt. And after Terrapin, they get back to more tested material, but I was kind of blown away. I know you're gonna say good things about this Minglewood, but I was surprised when I heard it, man. Like Garcia is just so on during this Minglewood, man. It's
Correct. It's
got
a
to.
great one. It's a great one. There's distinctive notes. It's funny, Howie. So many notes from this show of particular songs are embedded in my brain because I have listened to this tape so many years when I had the cassette. I've listened to it roughly, three times or so since I got the official release. But I had heard this cassette over and over again back in the day. That's so the Minglewood notes are embedded in my brain. There's notes from the Help on the Way, the Slipknot. It's incredible. Distinctive notes that oh, that must be Swing Auditorium. Because Jerry really does, that's the sound quality of Betty's recording. Also, Jerry's distinctive notes from the show. It's true. It just makes me, it harkens me back to that time in law school when I first heard the show, and I could not believe how great it was. I tried to turn so many people on to it because I had, again, we didn't know the show existed. 22677. I didn't know they played the Dead play there at Swing Auditorium. I didn't know such a place existed. I had heard of San Bernardino, but I didn't know where it was in California or whatnot. I didn't know that was the first show of the year. So it's just amazing to think back, all this stuff comes out. And then, when you put it in a historical context, what a great show to open up a touring year,
Oh
This
yeah,
started,
it's probably the best opener for any
for a
year to be
year.
this hot, and they were
Oh,
definitely
for
on a
sure.
mission in 77.
I can't think of another show to open up a year as good as this one, to be honest, They usually start off a little slow. They're testing new stuff. Every year is distinctive, And you're right, the Minglewood Blues got some great notes. It's funny, I don't specifically remember the They Love Each Other. I heard it a couple of days ago, but I remember thinking it's really good. I remember
Oh,
when I was
definitely, yeah.
listening to it, thinking it was really good. I didn't re-listen to it as I normally do in preparation for our interviews, some of the stuff, and other shows we've reviewed. But I do remember saying this, and then, after the Love Each Other, it's funny. I love the 73 Love Each Other's, the upbeat, with you're on a dizzy ride and you're stone cold sober, with the faster approach and Jerry's upbeat, licks. But I love these slow versions too. It's amazing,
It's just we get so used to it when you're 73. It sounds so interesting because you haven't heard, you don't hear
Yeah.
that a lot. Love Each
Right.
Other,
We
like
weren't
Minglewood.
around, right? We were around for these slow versions, like at we saw the Garcia band do some great ones at
They
the
do the
Rude
best of the slow
Band, and
versions for
you're
sure.
thinking this is such a great, but they didn't play it that way back then, when they started playing, when they opened the show, opened this song was 73, I believe. They didn't do any in 72. 73 was the debut of They Love Each Other, and what a great song. And I love the slow versions just as much as the fast ones. So this show really gets off to a great start. The Minglewood, Hot Minglewood, they love each other, and then another debut, Estimated Profit,
Fourth
and
spot, amazing.
it's a great Estimated Profit. It's got a really nice, middle jam. They don't obviously embark on an extended like they do starting in 1978, but it's a nice jam for a 77 version. And I thought the outro jam was outstanding. I loved it. It's got a good harmony. There was something about it. I'm listening to it in the car. I'm like, this works, just fantastic.
Definitely, it's a couple of things going on here. First, you got Keith on the synthesizer, Jerry with the neutron
I love that
effect,
Mutan.
and it's like it and it it sounds almost a little busy, but it's cool because like nobody had ever heard anything like this before. If you're at a Grateful Dead
Correct.
show with the noise with what Keith's doing and what Jerry's doing, it was just like they were taking the music in a new direction, which would continue in Shakedown, Fire in the Mountain, songs like that. This version almost sounded a little too busy, but it's cool because it's distinctive. It's like unlike any other Estimated. And the
Oh,
crowd,
absolutely.
you could hear the crowd even on the soundboard cheering like crazy at the end. They were definitely excited about it.
Right, brand new song. Most estimateds would clock in, later in 77 and 78, a good 10 to 11 minutes, sometimes longer. But this one's less than 8 minutes. It goes to show they're trying new material. They want to get it in. They weren't really focusing as much on the outro jam, but I love the concise nature, of the song. Again, it's the first time they ever played it live. It's great,
Yeah,
And
definitely. I thought it was a home run myself too.
The recording just sounds so great when you listen to it. And kudos to Rhino. The official release of this show is amazing. It really is. Everything about it is just amazing. The artwork on the casing. They have a couple of reviews from people who are at the show. It's great. Just one of the better releases.
It's just funny
Great
you mentioned you
David
made
Lemieux co comments. Great stuff.
the funny thing you just said, which I don't think anyone's going to relate to, but you said Rhino. There's a pizza place by me, a really good pizza place. It's called Reno's. I call it Rhino. And like someone said, like, who's Rhino's? I'm like, the
It's
guy's name is
Reno's.
Marino and it's Reno's.
Rhino's a pretty, the
record
releasing
company.
company that when you get all these Dave's picks and before it's Rhino's great. So they
Yeah.
make some great releases.
And they
This is
used to have
one of the best
storefronts
ones.
too, where you go into a Rhino Records and, they had one in Newport's actually, a Rhino Records.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. It probably, yeah. But going on with this, it's just amazing because the sound to me is just spot on. One of Betty's finest recordings I've ever heard.
It's
It's
incredible.
perfect.
That's what stormed me when you mentioned it. When you played the tapes, I was like, I can't believe how good this sounds.
This is similar in a way to Cornell. Cornell has that distinctive, with the perfect cymbals when you listen to that Scarlet Begonias, the bass in the, when you listen to the Dancing in the Street, there's some distinctive sounds from that it's a Betty board, and Cornell's one of them. This show is up there too with that distinctive sound. It's truly remarkable how good a recording she was, a recordist, and she did a phenomenal job in on that tour, and also in 78. Most of the best shows that a couple that I know of. We had covered, I think our last podcast was that unbelievable show from
Eugene,
University of
yeah.
Oregon in Eugene. The famous MacArthur Court. That's a Betty Board too, and that sound quality is phenomenal. But it's for some reason to me just doesn't sound as distinctive or as good as this San Bernardino show. This one just comes out as the top three of the recordings she's ever made, I believe, because the sound is it obviously has a lot to do with the arena, and the arena must have great acoustics because it sounds great. And
And that
then
maybe that's
two.
another reason the Van Halen fan took it out with the plane.
Yeah, with the plane. They hit it. I'll tell you, they picked a great day. They didn't know 20 years prior, to 9/11. But going on with the show, you got really a phenomenal Sugar Ray. I love this Sugar Ray, Howie. It's one of the first ones to really have the good extended second and third jam. There's a third jam. The first jam's short, but the second jam, Jerry hits some beautiful notes, and then he hits some great notes on the third and final jam. It's great.
Hey, time for an audio highlight. Let's get that second solo in. I like the it's like a key to Jerry transition. So let's check out that one. Both the second and third are great. Here we go, Sugary second solo. Yeah, no doubt, man. Sugar Ree is one of the epic masterpieces of 77, and it got off to a great start. Obviously, this isn't going to be as long as, you know, the ones from May.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's another thing I just wanted to mention. With
most of those are 15 minutes on the short side of those May Sugar Rees.
Yeah.
This one clocks in at 11 and change, but it's
beautiful.
Phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's phenomenal.
It's right on. It's excellent. The playing is tremendous. And that's one of the unique things about 1977 as opposed to other years. Like, you could actually show to show hear the improvement. And they were trying to get certain songs a certain way. In February, Sugar Ree would be this. In April, it would be that much better. In May, it would be peak. You know, it's like
music never stopped.
Same thing. There was a bunch of songs like that. And you very rarely hear that in a year, which means the Grateful Dead were paying a lot of attention to what they were doing and trying to make it better every night out, which they tried to play as best they could. But here's like a definite conscious attempt to make it better every show.
I agree with that. Sugar Ree is a great example. Music never stopped. You know, those are great examples. Probably even Around and Around is a good example. Yeah. Towards the, you know, May and then even in June,
Half-step.
They really started jamming on those, you know, just certain songs, you know. But you could also take a look back at the end of 76. You know, there's some really, really good shows.
Definitely.
I love those Oakland shows in October, I think 9th and 10th. And you got the great show, 10/15/76 at the Shrine
and the
in
14th
LA.
Also, yeah.
So great Sugar Rees in two of those shows,
yep,
where you could tell Jerry was starting to build the jam, usually the third and final jam, but they never took it to the level that they did in 77. You're right. They were definitely conscious of what they were playing and trying to make it, you know, a peak performance each time. And they've definitely peaked out, it seems, in May. A lot of years, they got so much better as the year went on that November is much better, you know, than May or April. But in 77, they were so good from the beginning to the end. They really were. That there's great shows in each month. It's incredible.
Yeah, they found a way to keep being creative. In May, they used a lot of song list variations. And then November, they were just crazy hot. You know, so it's...
Amazing. It's amazing. And that's something I was going to talk about, you know. Getting on with this set, you know, you got the Mama Tried, which is nice. You know, it's funny. I hadn't
nice
heard of Mama
standalone,
Tried in
yeah,
a while.
Yeah.
It was a good one, a real good one with, you know, it reminds me of Cornell. You know, it's a short song, usually a throwaway song, but I just always love the jam in it.
Doug, one more thing before you continue. I didn't get into the Shrine as much as you did originally. This has grown over the years for me to be like, you know, go from a show that I overlooked to being a masterpiece.
But oh, 10/15/76.
No, I'm talking about this one, the one we're
talking
about right
yeah.
now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, this swing, yeah.
I just recognize it as a great Betty board, but I heard the Sugar Ree, the music, and I'm like, it's not as hot as these other versions, so I kind of put the tape away and didn't pay a lot of attention to it where you did. But I got back to it in the 2000s, and I'm all over this show, you know, but I didn't appreciate it as much as I should have back in the day.
No, I get that. It's funny, you know. This is one of the shows that I knew as well as the other great shows of 77 that I love. Cornell, I know that backwards and forwards. War Memorial, the next night, 5/9/77. Colgate, 11/4/77. And probably this show. Those four are probably the shows that I know the best from repeated listenings, you know, because they're such great shows, those four shows. You know, Boston Music, I think it's Boston Music Hall, 5/7/77 is an incredible show. I just hadn't heard that as much as these other four, you know what I'm saying? And there's Tuscaloosa is a great show. I hadn't
Ridiculous,
heard that
yeah.
as much as the. Now that those shows have also been released, I get to listen to them. But the point I'm making is these shows were always at the top of my list. And that's why when I heard a note from one of the songs, I would know, oh, that's Swing Auditorium. Or that's got to be the Buffalo War Memorial. You know, that's got to be the Help Slip.
Definitely
Franklin
the band,
the
and especially
Memorial.
Garcia would have a motif going where you could definitely identify, even though it's 77, it should, they all kind of sound the same. There would be like a motif that you could tell if you heard it enough. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's funny, you know, the set list, it just blew me away when the Deal is great. You know, the next song after Mama's Right, Howie, is Deal. And it's a great deal. Deal really came, you know, into its own in 77. Came from a, you know, place where we used to love the 72 shorter versions. You know, they would also in the beginning and the 71, beginning of 72, do two separate solos for Jerry, but they weren't that long. They were cute. They were good. But in 77, you know, you think of Cornell has a great a Deal jam. But this one is so good. I don't know if you remember it from listening to it in preparation for this interview.
I don't remember it, but I heard it and I was like, hey, let me cue this up for, we're going to play this too as an audio
it's
highlight.
It's hot. It's,
I was so impressed with it when I heard
oh,
him
it's
talk.
great. I heard it within the hour because I was listening to, I told you, taking a walk around the neighborhood, Howie. I had time left after I heard the couple of jam sequences, in the second set. I had about 5 minutes left, so I put on the deal because it's about almost 6 minutes. And it's phenomenal. It really is. It's one of the
Yeah.
better deals you'll ever
Hey,
hear from.
let's unleash that amazing instrumental in the deal right now, and then we'll get back to the first set here.
Enjoy.
Yeah, that one really kind of stood out for me, man. Loved it. And great
Three
deal.
rounds. He
Yeah.
does three rounds where he normally would do two, back in the day. And it's just great. You can tell Jerry's having a good time. It's fun. And what great sound quality, Now, I wasn't listening to the official release because I'm listening to, well, the Betty Cantor, soundboard that's on the Internet Archive. And it sounds great. Don't get me wrong. It's not as good, though, as the official release. But boy, you could hear each instrument so cleanly and clearly. It's amazing,
Yeah,
you
and
know?
Phil had a great night. That's one thing you hear. Phil's bass
Oh my God.
so
Yeah,
incredible
he
on
was
this.
all,
Yeah.
Phil was great. We'll talk about that later because Phil has a couple of prominent roles, in some of the
Yeah.
songs. But now that seven songs in, this is an excellent first set. And then it ends to me in one of the best, first set enders of the entire year. The playing, the into the wheel, back into playing in the band. That's phenomenal. Again, I'm thinking of 1976. They were creative with their song configurations. Especially like in the second sets, they probably did the playing in the band into the wheel, back into the playing in the band. I know they did a lot of variations with playing in the band.
Splitting up
Wheel was
dancing,
the song that they
splitting up
would
Sugar
use.
Mag, yeah.
Yes. But this, it blows away anyone from 76. My point is, they were really, really onto something in 77. But whether it was sick of playing those small theaters that they were touring in 76. Nothing against 76, and there's some great shows, but I think you'll agree with me. In 76, they were a lot slower and mellower
Yeah.
in their performance and execution.
Yeah, I think he kind of hit it on the head. They tried and they did a lot of cool stuff earlier in the year, but their playing really started taking off in October. That I think
Correct.
there's a separation where they
Even
like,
September, end of
yeah,
September, some
yeah,
great
yeah.
shows.
That
But
tour
you're right.
though, yeah.
October, man, there's some great shows that have extended. There's no shows in November, but they do a great show, obviously, to end the year and the New Year's at the Cow Palace,
Cow
12th
Palace,
of November.
beautiful, yeah.
It's a phenomenal show. So they were taking that creativity right into 76, 77, and boy, they nailed it. This playing in the band is like 14 minutes of excellent jamming, excellent. You know, there's a couple of parts I remember. The 6 minute mark, he starts hitting some great notes, Jerry. It's to a little chaotic, and then Jerry comes back at about the 9 minute mark and hits these phenomenal notes. You know, and I thought of it like, if I had, what would you call this, Doug, if you had to like name it for the people out there? Sounds to me like an Arabian Nights jam. That's what I
Right.
called it, the Arabian Nights. It fits in with the whole Blues for Allah thing, with the Help on the Way, Slipknot, Franklin's, which we'll discuss later as part of the second set. But it definitely has this Middle Eastern Arabian feel during the jam. It's incredible, especially listen, 6 minute, then the 9 minute mark. And Jerry's hitting some great, beautiful notes. He just goes on these tangents, and it works so well within the framework of the song. You know, it's just, I love it. Look, I love playing the band, always have. But when I see something like this from '77, I'm going to want to listen to it and discover it. You know, so when I knew they probably playing the band Into the Wheel Back into Playing, but I hadn't heard it in a bunch of years, to be honest. So this was a delight for me, Howie. I heard it in the car 2 days ago, and it sounded great. And then I heard it again just this morning. It was perfect. I took a walk around, just a 20-odd minute walk before I played pickleball with my wife, and I just had time for the Playing the Wheel playing. And it's spectacular, spectacular. Because not only is the playing great with some great different tangents that Jerry goes on, the whole band sounds engaged. You know, Bobby sounds great, Donna. The wheel, it might be the best wheel I've ever heard. It's got a great intro to it. It's fantastic. They do a little spacey jam after playing, and then out of the chaos, you hear Jerry start the notes for the wheel, and it works. It works. And it's about a 7 minute long wheel, and you know, seven and change maybe.
Yeah, I thought the outro was pretty cool for the wheel, man. Like
Oh,
that's a, yeah.
it's great. They take their time. They don't rush. You know, later years, they're rushing in to get into the next song, you know, kind of
I'm
taking their
still
time.
wrapping my head around Arabian Nights. I got to go back and listen to that again for the
I'm
Arabian
telling you,
Nights.
it's got a nice Arabian Nights theme, and they revisit that during the Slipknot, as we'll discuss. It's amazing. That is, you know, the motif of the night. If you ask me what was the common thread of this show, Jerry's Arabian Nights, you know, motif, flavor, you know, seasoning on his jams. It's amazing. And he hits the nail on the head on this playing in the band, as you'll see, you know, when you re-listen to it, you'll be
All right.
laughing.
So that's a great ending to this first set. It really is a second set because you got a Terrapin Estimated Playing Wheel playing. There's no first set like this. And
Oh, agreed. I don't know
what
if they ever did they ever play playing in the band again in the first set, probably in '77 after this show. I doubt it, unless they ended the
maybe
first set similarly.
Philly's 422 maybe, but hey,
Okay.
regardless, we got to start moving on because time is working against us. We're having too much fun with this show.
Yeah, we still got about 12 minutes, but we could wrap up. So set two, great Samson and Delilah, Howie. A
Yeah.
great one. You know, I loved it. I heard it
They came
twice.
out roaring, man.
It came, I mean, they're still on. They're really, you know, taking notes and tearing down buildings and smacking planes into the side of buildings, you know. The Samson, we want to tear this old building down. They did 4 years later.
That's strange, man. The only time they played there and it did get torn down.
Great Samson. I loved it. I'll tell you, one of the better ones from '77, you know, off the top of my head. I love that one. Tennessee Jed, it's kind of a it's funny. When you made this tape for me, this was tape disc two. The whole first set fit on the first disc. Disc two started with Samson and Tennessee Jed, and I used to listen to disc two all the time because it had the best parts of the show. The Samson, the Tennessee Jed, the music never stopped, and the Help Slip Frank. It was great. That second disc. So I always would have that with me in my car, just like as a, and I would listen to this out in the patio in my backyard by the pool. I would try to turn people onto the Dead. It would be like the Samson, the Tennessee Jed, and the music helped Slipknot because it works so well, you know?
Yeah, we had it. We heard a great Tennessee Jed last week with the
Oh my God.
Eugene show. This one's pretty close. This one has like that
It's
extra
phenomenal.
zest. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great one. It's one of the best ones from '77, you know? I just like Jerry singing in it. I like his voice, you know? And Bobby's on, everybody's on. It's a great Tennessee Jed. It's also long. It's like 9 minutes. You know, it's a long time. They take their time in the jam. I love that. Love that they're not, you know, really. There's a couple of vocal flubs that I remember, but cute ones. You know what I'm saying? Like in the beginning, cute ones where he interchanges lines. You know, where,
You
you
might not even
know,
notice it unless you're really paying attention.
just the, you know, like got a letter this morning and all that at ready. We say that in the second. You know, a set of lyrics. He says that in the first kind of, he mixes things around, but it works. I like it. And then The music never stopped. This is to this point, Howie, this is the best music never stopped they've ever done. It's
Could be, yeah.
phenomenal. It's such a great,
I
it's
like the
one of,
funkiness of the jam.
exactly. There's some great notes, picking notes he hits that works. And I've always remembered that. Again, that distinctive sound of Swing Auditorium. You play me this and I'll know right away. Oh, this is Swing Auditorium. It's great. It's not the longest one ever. It's not the hottest, but it's actually one of the better ones from 77. And 77 was a great year for Music Never
Oh yeah,
Stopped. It's when it
once
came
again
into its own.
the increment thing, man. It was like they played in Boston, they played a ridiculous version, then 2 nights later in
Oh, and
Buffalo,
then.
they beat it.
And then, right, they actually beat it at the Buffalo War Memorial. How did they do that? You know, hey, New Haven's really good too.
Yeah.
You know, there's some great, but this one to start the year is fantastic. You know, one of the better ones, at least one of the more distinctive ones from Jerry's sound and the picking notes that he hits in the outro jam is fantastic. You
Yeah,
know,
and this show just
fantastic.
keeps going on such an upturn because we go into Help Slip Franks. And
Oh my
for
God.
me, this is top three in the Help Slip Franks. It's so
Oh.
consistent throughout. You know, it's just.
Howie, I was thinking of that. I was listening to this just within this past hour and a half. This was one of the jam sequences I was listening to, as I told you. I was gonna, as I'm walking around the neighborhood, I heard it in the car, so I've heard it twice now. And not only is this top three, I think this is the best one ever.
Pretty
And I'll tell
close.
you what.
Yeah.
Look, there's some great Help Slip Franklins, you know? I know you love the one from Winterland 6977.
Yeah,
You're a big
it's
fan of that one, and I get it. That one's longer, probably stronger, you know? Got more muscle. This one, though, something about it. The help on the way is great. It's understated. Jerry just doesn't go for the jugular. He's hitting some great softer notes. And then the Slipknot. My God, this is the greatest Slipknot of all time. Talk about Arabian Nights. You listen to the Slipknot, and it's just such beautiful sounding like Arabian or Middle Eastern music. It works. It's phenomenal. One of these signature jams in my mind of the whole year of
Yeah, so
1977.
audio highlight number three of the show. Let's get a little of that Slipknot going
Oh
into the
my God.
rankings.
Don't drive. If you're driving, folks, just pull over, please.
Thank you. this show is the Helps at Franklin. Just there's something about it. It's just superior. It's, Grateful Dead. They're on such
phenomenal.
A roll, man.
It's beyond belief how great. Look, you know me. I've been a big proponent, still am, of Buffalo War Memorial 5977. I love that Helps at Franklin's. It opens up the show. But because this was in the middle of the second set, where they already got the show under their belt and they're feeling the crowd and whatnot, I just like the placement of the Help Slip Franklin's better in the second set. And I just love, hey, this Help on the Way is probably, you know, a good 6 minutes, longer than most. It's got a great middle jam. The Slipknot is 7 minutes and change. It's phenomenal. Yeah. And the Franklin's Tower is like 13 minutes. So it's one of the longer Help Slip Franklin. All told, it's like 26 minutes or something, 27 minutes. Which is longer than most, except maybe 6977.
Yeah. It's the Madison best Square Garden was 30 minutes, and that's what short Help on the Way.
That one is phenomenal.
That's
Help 1983,
on the Way,
correct?
Yeah, 10-12-83.
That one is phenomenal. But as good as that one is, I think this one is superior just because we're talking 77 and, you know, just what they have done in the band, and they're younger, and just the sound, the different sound, the Betty Board quality makes it sound so good. But that's the highlight of the show for me.
No doubt. I want to tackle the Franklins, because the Franklins is also unbelievable.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's one of the best ones.
Franklins, for any guitarist, has to be a bit of a task, because you're playing the same chords, the same rhythm, and you got to create six or seven different times. It's not easy.
Five succinct jams in this by Jerry, where most guitarists wouldn't know how to go from one to the next without really sounding exactly the same. But Jerry does it five separate times, basically. Five separate jams, and they're
each jam in there is incredible, and it's like a long narrative. He knows how to pick up where he left off and take it in a new direction. It's remarkable. You know, like, it's the simpler songs, like Fire in the Mountain, Franklin's, where sometimes you could see the brilliance of Garcia in songs.
Yeah.
You know, it's
excellent point, Howie. Excellent point. As I'm listening to this, walking around the neighborhood, I was like, there's just something so perfect about this Franklin's. It doesn't start off as gangbusters. You know, the first two jams, they're beautiful, but he takes his time. It's just incredible, and each jam then really builds to a crescendo. And it's his distinctive notes, too. Again, if you heard this 10 years from now, you would say, oh, that's the swing Franklin's Tower. You would know it because of these distinctive notes and just Jerry's texture. It's just phenomenal. I don't know how he does it, but God, I want more.
You are right about it. It's a third and fourth jam. Music play in the next one. And on the fourth one, which I'm going to play the third and fourth jams as Franklin's. It's so great. We're going to go for another quick audio break. Just on that fourth one, Garcia, it's these notes. It's like he's doing these repetitive notes, and you can hear the good humor and warmth in his playing.
Oh,
it's
we
talk about laughing out loud. It's funny.
Exactly.
It's entertaining. It's brilliant. It's great playing. And there's humor in there, and Jerry knows it.
Of course.
He's like, I could play these notes over and over, and the crowd's going to love it. You know,
it's true.
Hey, let's go to that audio highlight, and we'll pick up right after we hear.
Yeah, because we got to finish
Franklin's
up. Yeah, this Franklin's unreal.
Just one more deal. Shove away your pleasure. you flat ice, you got a harvest wind.
Jerry sharing his humor, goodwill, and warmth
and showing
San
off.
Bernardino.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
He's a show off. Boy, was he showing off during that Franklin.
Yeah,
you
know? That's what should be in like Wikipedia. First thing, Jerry Garcia, guitarist, show off. You
know? Hey, does it show how much time we have left usually?
We got a little bit, probably a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, something like that, but there's not much left to show off that helps.
Right. You got the Promised Land?
The Promised Land's hot. It's a hot Promised Land.
Oh, yeah. It is. It is. You know, it's funny. This show, I think of three distinct jam sequences. You got the playing wheel playing, so 20 minutes and change, about 22 minutes. You got the help slip Franklin's, which is phenomenal, 26, 27 minutes. And to end the show, which we're the part we're at now, the eyes dancing into a round and round, clocks in at 30 minutes. Look, it's not the hottest eyes ever, not the hottest dancing or hottest around and around, but I just listened to this walking around the neighborhood. I love this jam sequence because it works. They're on. They're engaged. They don't knock it out of the park on every jam, but it's concise and it works. I'll tell you, I liked it better when I listened to this just now with the headphones, Howie, than I listened to it in the car because I couldn't pay full attention. But I'll tell you, like the dancing is great. It's only a 9 minute and change dancing in the street compared to the 15, 17 minutes they would do later on in the year. But it's a great dancing in the street. It's phenomenal.
The playing's good. It's concise. It's clean. The audience must have been in love,
going bonkers, you know,
having the best time.
But Eyes of the World is great. It's not the longest one.
As critics, we could say that a 9 minute Eyes of the World is right. Like, you know, they didn't. There was like, Jerry must have got tired. Something happened. But the playing is great. So it's so clean.
There you go. Another first. The Zoom call this time cut out while I was talking. Usually, the Zoom call will end when Doug's going off about something, but hey, one of the cool things about this, we basically got through the show because the last three songs, there's not a lot to talk about there. But I spoke to Doug after our Zoom call, and he was like, hey, you got to mention that Phil bass solo, and he's definitely on with that. So they played Eyes of the World, went into Dancing in the Street, and kind of a short Eyes, so Phil just kept it going during bass. He kind of extended the eyes, and then he started doing the kind of beginning of Dancing with these just a great bass jam connecting the two songs. So kudos to Phil, man. That was probably the highlight of the three song ending there. So the Eyes of the World, 9 minutes, definitely short. Same thing with Dancing in the Street. But the weird thing is they were playing good. The music sounds good. If you're at the show, you were loving it, man. Eyes dancing around and around. But for some reason, it's noticeably This is what we do. We compare it to other versions from the era. The worst eyes and the worst dancing of 1976 or 77. For whatever reason, they just cut everything short on those two versions. Even in Dancing in the Street, when they do that funky ending, bum, 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 chicka-chomp, bum, 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 bum. And I'll spare you the rest of how I think that goes. But, you know, the funky ending instrumental before they go back to the final sing-along of Dancing in the Streets. This is the only version from that era where they didn't do that at the end. Just strange. I was wondering, you know, maybe they just got tired, you know, whatever. But I think one hot song would have been better than these three songs, which were just that when you get to know 76 and 77, these were obviously less than way below average. But still must have sounded great to the people in San Bernardino. So everybody went home. Happy U.S. Blues Encore. And that wraps up this show. A couple other things about the Swing Auditorium here. The Grateful Dead played there four times. Once again, another fact I just looked at, I was kind of surprised. I forgot about the 69 show. In fact, maybe I didn't forget about it. Maybe I didn't know about it at all. It's December 13th, 1969. I got to check that show out, listen to it. I probably have never heard it before. And then after the next show was the one that opened up 1977. They did the same thing in 1978. They opened up their touring year in the Swing Auditorium on January 6th. Yeah, it's probably a pretty hot show. I haven't listened to it in a while. But it's noteworthy, at least for the second set, there were no Jerry tunes. At this point, he had laryngitis. At this point, this is the first show where it affected him, where he couldn't sing a song on the second set. They're all Bobby tunes. And then the next two nights, I believe they were in San Diego, just all Bobby songs, because as Jerry recovered from the laryngitis. And so it was another year opener. Not as glorious as the one from 77, but they opened up 78 in the Swing Auditorium. And then they played there for the last time, December 12th, 1980. I know I've heard this show before, but I really don't have any recollection of it. But it looked like a decent set list, nothing crazy. But so definitely the best of these four shows is this 77 show. It's got the debut of Terrapin, First Estimated. A lot of great playing. It's like they played the second set, a second set for the first set on that night. And The Help on the Way, Slipknot, Franklin's Pure Gold, man. This is such a great version. And I played a little bit for you, but you're doing yourself an injustice if you don't listen to this Help on the Way, Slipknot, Franklin's all the way through. Definitely one of the best of all times. And you know, just everything with this show, man. The Betty boards, you know, a great show to discuss for the podcast. So thanks, Doug. Thanks for joining us for the February 26, 77 show. And next week, we're going to do another Garcia show. I was going to do that this week. I just had to verify a few facts on the show. I think I got it under control. Next week, more Garcia for you. Then we're going to go into a long, long roll of Grateful Dead related shows and material. And hey, everybody, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. Website, tangledupintunes.com. If you want to reach out to me, email catfishgarcia82@yahoo.com. Speak to you next week. Peace out.